This is Album Worms. It's like a book club, but for albums. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris. And on this episode, we will be discussing Julian Baker's album, Little Oblivions.
Let's get started. Welcome to Album Worms. Welcome to another episode of Album Worms. Please take a moment and subscribe to us wherever you find your podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Album Worms. Well, Chris, it's been a few weeks, but glad to be back with you talking about more music.
Yeah, it's nice, you know, gives me something to do throughout my week. You know, listen to something and analyze it. It's pretty fun. I enjoy it.
I agree. And I don't know, I'm going to take a hot take for a second here, Chris. I feel a little disappointed with the amount of music that's coming out this year. I don't feel like there's as much music as I'm used to. There's still plenty of good music coming out, but there's nothing that's like coming down the pipeline that I am super pumped on. Still a lot of great music, but I don't feel like there's as many anticipated releases. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I kind of feel the same way. Nothing's really grabbed my attention. There's been a few, albums that have come out that have been like, oh, these are good. But I haven't really felt anything super exciting other than maybe the Foo Fighters record. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, though.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree. But I think this is, we like to pick a record and talk about it in our book club-like format. And Julian Baker is an artist for me personally. I've enjoyed her a lot from her first record that came out in 2015. But for me, all of her records have been kind of background listening.
Mm-hmm.
If one of her songs came on in the radio, I have to admit, I might not be able to identify who it was. Like, I kind of have this kind of relationship with her music where I like it, it's good, but I don't really know it. So I wanted to take some intentional time. Let's really get to know her new record. It came out earlier this year, and I'm glad you wanted to do the same, Chris.
Yeah, kind of the same with me. You know, I've listened to her music quite a bit, but you know, what really kind of got me into her stuff was the super group Boy Genius. That's kind of where I really kind of was like, oh, I want to check out her solo stuff, and then realize that it was really good. I was like, huh, I didn't really take the time to listen to it, so I did. Then when you wanted to do this album, I thought it'd be fun, just dive into one of her records.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think that's probably a similar story for a lot of people in discovering her is through Boy Genius. It obviously is a pretty good advertising platform to start a super group with Phoebe Bridgers, especially I think at the time that they started Boy Genius, Phoebe Bridgers wasn't at the profile that she is today, mm-hmm. where she's headlining SNL and getting national attention the way she has blown up. When we talked about her record even last year, her profile has even gotten even more so since then. She has really taken off. So I'm imagining a lot of people are going back and listening to Julian Baker because of her connection to Boy Genius and Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's, you know, to be completely honest, you know, like you said, I've kind of listened to her music before, but it wasn't anything that I was like, oh, you know, who is this? It was kind of just, oh, if it was on, I was like, oh, this is good. You know, until that they came out with that record, and I was like, oh, who's on this? And I was like, oh, every single person on here is great. So I was like, well, I might as well go back and listen to her stuff. And I was blown away. I was like, wow, I've never really paid attention to it. And I'm kind of glad that, you know, we went through this album, because, you know, I think it's definitely warrants being talked about.
I am on board with you, Christopher.
Yes, Jonathan. So,
I haven't heard that one in a while. That's a throwback.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, why don't we listen to one of her songs to get us kind of in the mood and get us started. This is her song, Hardline. Should we talk about some album details?
Yes, let's.
All right, this record we are talking about is Julian Baker and her record Little Oblivions. It was released February 26, 2021. It is her third full-length album. And as we mentioned at the top of our show, she did a EP as Boy Genius in 2018, and that was a super group with solo artists Lucy Dacus and Phoebe Bridgers. I think we should also note that she has three full-length records, a side project within, or a formed a super group side project, whatever you want to call it. She is currently 25 years of age.
That's pretty crazy to me. I feel like with her music, it definitely seems she's just what she writes. It's a lot more mature and a lot like it's just heavy. And it's kind of cool to realize that she's pretty young and she's got a lot of talent for how young she is.
And that's something you don't see too much of.
No.
I think Phoebe Bridgers, Lucy, and Julian are some of those few artists out there that are breaking through to audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not to the pop star standards of like a Taylor Swift by any means, but still very much having a livelihood within doing music as a living at a very young age.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of shifted. I don't know how you feel, but it used to be where you only were a rock star if you were super young, like Led Zeppelin when they were in their prime, mm-hmm. or even Nirvana in the 90s. All those bands, Jimi Hendrix, they were all extremely young. But I feel it has shifted a bit where you see more of the popular bands. I mean, bands, not pop stars. They are becoming, it takes them a little bit longer. So like Decemberists, Avett Brothers, I think they were all well into their 30s and before they kind of hit a pretty good stride in their career.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's kind of refreshing to see young artists really hone their craft and really take pride in, you know, making something that's really meaningful, you know, because I think, you know, some pop music gets a little ridiculous and, you know, it's nice to see people that are younger kind of really pour their heart and soul into something and have it really mean something. And you don't see that a lot these days.
Yeah, I think it's hard to come by. And I think we'll maybe discuss this a little bit further in our questions. But definitely something to note within our album details. Normally, I think the next part of what we'll kind of go over, I sometimes hesitate to include in our album details because everyone has their own life experiences, and I don't think that some of this stuff should represent who they are, what their music represents. But I think for Julian, it's part of her story. I think it connects to her lyrics and maybe explains where she's coming from. But she was raised in a suburb kind of right outside of Memphis, Tennessee. She was raised in a Christian home in the South, and she came out as gay to her family, and then she also struggled with addiction, teenage addiction, had gone into recovery, also relapsed. And so I think a lot of her albums and her lyrics really go through some of those spirituality, addiction, mental illness, and just human nature in general. I think understanding her story a little bit might help with understanding her music, but I also don't think that should necessarily represent all of who she is either.
No, definitely not. I mean, this record was wonderful to listen through. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, it's nice to see someone that has been through a lot put that on into her albums. You know, it's not just, I'm going to pretend everything's okay and write happy music all the time, you know, because let's be honest, it's not always happy, you know? And,
yes.
And I think it's okay that people are vulnerable in their music, and this album kind of shows that.
It's okay not to be okay, I think, is the message that Album Worms wants to share with people.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think another note that comes up quite frequently, if you see any interview with Julian Baker, is that in 2019, she took a break from music to finish her undergraduate degree. And for some reason, every interviewer likes to talk to her about that.
Yeah.
I guess it is important part of her. I might talk about it a little bit more in our questions, but a little bit of a note there. I mean, many artists have done this throughout the ages, including Robin Pechold of Fleet Foxes went back to school, so it's a normal thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, what's the singer of Weezer? Didn't he go to school and stuff?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like halfway through their music career, he went to college or something like that.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a nut. Well, I mean, even, I think there's been several artists. I know Flea went to USC for like music theory, but that's, I feel like cool. That's a virtuoso just trying to get better.
Yeah.
Versus going back like Julian and Robin, I think they studied literature or something of that nature, which I think can easily connect to lyrics.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, but they did something outside of going to, I think she originally went to school actually for what you did, Chris, is audio engineering, but then
oh, cool.
Kind of switched it up.
Yeah. Hey, I hear that.
Yeah, which you also did.
Yep. Yeah, I did. Definitely.
So I have a couple other album details, and then we can get into our questions. I think another note to kind of understand her music is that she was really inspired by the band Frightened Rabbit, and even performed at Scott Hutchinson's, I believe, funeral, if I have that correct. But they were a big influence on her songwriting and kind of the poetic sensibilities that they put together in their song crafting. So I think that's a note. And I think it's something that will also be pretty close to home for both you and I is when Julian was growing up in her teenage years. She was in that kind of the punk hardcore scene, screamo type bands that we were into, and even lists some of her favorite bands were Me Without You, Under Oath, The Chariot, and Norma Jean, which were pretty much the only band I think I would throw in there that isn't included in some of my favorites would be Poison the Well.
Yep, that's pretty cool.
But those are some of my all-time favorites right there.
I agree.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
We were all probably going to Warped Tour at the same time, but in different states.
Yeah, that's cool.
You could kind of tell, maybe, I don't know, after learning that, I was like, that makes sense. That tracks. I feel like you can pick up on some of the song structure influence from hardcore.
Definitely. Yeah. And you see her too. You see photos. You're like, yeah, I could see that. It makes sense.
Yeah, it tracks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into our questions. I think where I want to start here is, what makes Julian Baker different from other singer-songwriters, especially considering her age compared to the thousands of others that try to break into the music industry? I mean, how many 20-somethings do you know, or not even know, that you can just think of that are playing bars, trying to make a record deal happen, and somehow she records, Julian Baker recorded her first record in her dorm room.
Jeez.
So what makes her different than all these thousands of other singer-songwriters?
This one was kind of hard for me because it was just kind of one of those, like, I really had to kind of think about that. But for me, just her maturity in her songwriting kind of just blows me away. And her vocals are just really different. I don't know how to explain it. I think the things she's been through give her a lot, you know, to work with. And
right.
And I think it's just her voice for me. It's just not quite, maybe, I don't want to say it's not polished, but it just has a different sound to it. And it works well, especially on her new record, Little Oblivions. It's kind of one of those things where I'm just like, I love it. The way she is able to write a song, it just kind of, I mean, there's not a song on this new album that I didn't not like. I like them all. And, you know, that says a lot about a musician. And, you know, it's kind of a dark record. A lot of it's kind of a heavy. But, you know, a lot of the music's, some of it's, you know, really bright sounding. And her use of random instruments and sounds are what really kind of caught my attention.
Right. Yeah, I think what you shared, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
So I think what you just mentioned, the use of multiple instruments,
mm-hmm.
I think that's one aspect that sets her apart is she does play multiple instruments. And on this record, she pretty much played every single instrument, maybe for a few. I think there was like one or two parts that she maybe gave credit to other people, but otherwise she wrote the songs, she recorded it, she obviously taught the other people to help record the record, and she's planning on touring with them as a full band. But it's her music, so I think that's one part that maybe sets her apart from some,
mm-hmm.
is that she's not relying on others for
the
bass work or the drums or whatever it might be. I know she did piano and banjo and a bunch of other, and all the looping and effects. She can do it on her own. Obviously, she relies on trusts others to help her, but not as much as I think a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely one part. And then I think the other part that you kind of mentioned is her life experiences, and which reflects in her lyrics and storytelling. To me, it sets her apart because I think a lot of singer-songwriters, they sing about very similar things like falling in love or...
Yeah, a lot of kind of like love stuff or, you know, relationship problems or...
Right.
You know.
Been done a million times. And
yeah.
Some are very successful doing that. And there is a place for that music, but there is a much narrower audience of Julian's kind of self-mortification that she kind of has become known for. And to me, it kind of I don't think a like completely comparison to this, but it remind me a little bit more to a Kurt Cobain who was singing about different things than just falling in love and doing those things. And he was also at a very young age and went through probably similar addiction related situations that Julian went through. So I feel if you're gonna compare to someone, I think there are not many, and I don't think there ever will be necessarily, but there's not as many people that are storytelling similarly to Kurt Cobain, right? So I think the last thing that I'll add on to what you were talking about is if you listen to her in an interview, if you were a 25-year-old and had three albums, been on tours, open for major bands, headline shows, been in a super group, feel like there'd be a little bit of cockiness. Or feel like, yeah, I did it. I made it. I'm doing music. That's quite the accomplishment, right?
Yeah, no, totally agree.
For her, there is still like a almost like an imposter syndrome, maybe that she's going through, where and it comes up when people talk to her about going back to school and her thinking about, well, maybe I won't do music full time, maybe I'll become a teacher and down the line, and maybe she'll do that part time and also do music in her future. But basically, she's not full of herself. And that alone, I think, definitely also separates her from other singer-songwriters that are, probably have had a fraction of her success, would probably feel like they are anybody that's basically surviving and doing music full time is doing amazing work because a million people are trying to do that and fail.
Oh yeah. And to have three great records under your belt at such a young age is a big accomplishment, I think, and keeping a level head and not being, in your face about it, being very humble is, you don't see that a lot.
She definitely has that humble nature, which is pretty impressive for her age and what she has accomplished this far. And it's not, I feel like it's a different type of humble, because it's one thing I was like, oh, I'm so grateful, and but hers is more of a, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be successful at this type of humble.
Yeah, I just do this because I enjoy it.
Yeah, she's like, I'm glad, I think she's thankful for everything she's accomplished. But yeah, I think that is very interesting. I think she's live and hopefully will live in the moment and enjoy, hopefully in recovery, right? So that's part of her story. So, but how do you feel like this differs from her previous work?
I feel like a lot more instruments were used on this record. That was the biggest difference I noticed. Lyrically, I think it kind of falls in suit with other songs and other things she's written, but giving, these songs a little more dynamic flow with, drums and bass and more electric guitar. I think that kind of just added a different dimension to her songs.
I think this is spot on. I don't think, I mean, obviously there's, you can try to be intellectual about a lot of this. And I think that's also a similar theme for Julian. I think she is very intellectual, but also will give you a straight answer when needed. Compared to her other records, this is a full band sound. And there's a lot more instruments. There's drums, keyboards, mandolins, banjos, synths. There's all types of backing vocals. Definitely, she missed playing it in a band. And when she went on tour, she pretty much was the only person on stage. I think she used like a loop, maybe for mm-hmm. some of her effects, so filled out her sound and stuff, but she truly was a one-person show, so going out on tour, I think this will be fun for her, because she'll, especially with her hardcore nature, she'll be able to bang her head and rock out a little bit more to these songs on this record. On this record, what musically stood out to you?
It was kind of one of those things I was like really trying to just listen to it, and I think what really caught my attention was just how airy and open the sounds were within the songs. Yeah. Not just the guitar parts or the drum parts or whatever, but just the use of random instruments and just sound mm-hmm. kind of was fun. You know, I'd find myself kind of drifting off the lyrics for a second, be like, oh, what is this instrument? Or what is this sound? And it was just kind of cool. And, you know, I found right. that to be throughout the whole record. I constantly was like, oh, I wonder what that instrument is. Or I wonder how she got that sound. And that's kind of what I really took away musically, was just how much more full the music was and how that kind of helped drive the lyrics. You know, because to me, the music wasn't super overwhelming, but it was just very expansive.
Right. I am right on board with you there. Like, it wasn't anything musically, I don't feel like there is anything extremely captivating, but it's like a sprinkling of sounds
mm-hmm.
that supports her storytelling.
Yeah.
But to me, kind of like what you kind of mentioned with like the airiness, I was thinking about this and comparing from her previous work, I think maybe a lot of reviewers were talking about how her earlier work was for like a living room setting, and her newer work is for an arena or a big concert.
Yeah.
And I can see maybe where they're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. With the full band.
Right. For me, I feel like I kind of define it a little bit different, and it's a little bit more, I don't know, see if you can track with me on this, but you know, there's certain records that you listen to and they just feel really grounded, like they are kind of earthy. They feel like there's just some like kind of grit to it. And then there's other records that feel kind of interstellar mm-hmm. or cosmic in nature, expansive. I feel that she combined both of those elements. So sometimes you only hear kind of what the record go one or the other, but even in the song Faith Healer
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh yeah, this feels like very kind of like earthy, grounded, and then it just gets very cosmic to me, very kind of interstellar towards the end as it builds. And that's how I kind of wrapped up this record for me, is it was that kind of those combinations of grounded and kind of spaciness, interstellar airiness. And then I think there is different elements that stood out as well. I think Son and E was like clearly the ballad, probably the most similar to her previous work. On Favor as well, we see Lucy Dacus and Phoebe Bridgers help out with some backup vocals on that song. So I think that track definitely stood out to me. And like you said, just the different instrumentation and the effects, I think certain times it's really hard to tell, is this an effect or is this an instrument?
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. I had a hard time kind of figuring out what was what, but it was just like, oh, what does this sound?
Right.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, like in Hardline, or it's like you could definitely tell, all right, that's banjo. But in some other ones or on some of the intros, yes, it's definitely harder to tell, which means it's when I said nothing kind of captivates you, it's because it's just like a soundscape. So nothing necessarily stands out as like an individual element or as a riff even. It's all kind of just this soundscape that sets the tone for her storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know. That's how I took it.
No, I definitely felt the same.
So I think since we talked about this soundscape that set the tone for her lyrics and her storytelling, let's talk about that. What lyrically caught your attention?
Just how kind of, I feel like every kind of song kind of dealt with, you know, like Relative Fiction was one that kind of stood out to me. When I could spend the weekend out on a bender, do I get callous or do I stay tender? You know, it's just kind of, you can tell, you know, she's dealing with addiction, and I could do that or I did do that, but now, which is worse, you know, being tender or being, you know, like just going for it, or being, you know, kind of soft and tender and open. And I really like how she uses certain little things to kind of just influence her songwriting. Like even in Faith Healer, for me, I picked up, you know, the lyrics right away are what stood out to me, just with her singing and her voice. You know, it's very distinct. Kind of helps, I feel like, with the mood of the lyrics too.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really give her credit earlier in the episode, but the vocals on this record are phenomenal. Oh, they're so good. That's the highlight of the record, right?
Yeah. You know, and a lot of the lyrics just kind of deal with, you know, trying to figure out what's going on, you know, like the addiction, faith, having faith and trying to, you know, figure your own self out during, you know, things that happen in life, you know, addiction, trying to get through it, trying to find comfort in things. She's just very good at kind of writing her feelings out.
Yeah. So, I mean, lyrically, it's rough, right? Yeah, if you're paying attention to records, like it's rough when you think about her experiences and how she's grappling with it. Yeah. So the second track of the album in Heat Wave, one of the lines is, "I'll wrap Orion's belt around my neck and kick the chair out." That is rough. And then on Ringside, one of the lines is, "Beat myself till I'm bloody and I'll give you a ringside seat." Rough. So this is difficult to kind of experience and probably pretty relatable a lot. I feel, to me, Faith Healer was one of the songs that stood out to me, like you mentioned as well, because it talks about her story of substance abuse and knowing that she doesn't want to use drugs because they're harmful, but then still craving the relief it offers. That story is so common amongst addiction, and they say relapse is part of sometimes the process of recovery, and she went through that at a very young age even.
Yeah.
So hopefully, my hope is that people can get some comfort and knowing that they're not alone in this process. They can see someone like Julian Baker being open and transparent about that. And hopefully this ends positively for Julian and it can be a shining example of full recovery or full kind of just going through the life process. And because you see it end tragically a lot, like with Kurt Cobain or however many other artists, that it has ended tragically. This is definitely where she sets herself apart. Yeah, right?
Definitely.
Her vocals are great. I think she does kind of take after like Phoebe Bridgers, where they write just kind of straight through. They don't really repeat lines that often. They don't have a chorus that will like repeat over and over again. They're just going through like a straight story, which I think how we have experienced her music previously, I think that explains a lot, because it's not music that's gonna necessarily get stuck in your head or you'll sing along with in a car, but it's music that's so peaceful in the background, or it's comforting on a walk or by yourself or whatever it is. I think that kind of explains how we have experienced our music previously, mm-hmm. but it's worth taking that deeper dive.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you have any favorite tracks on this record?
One of my favorites was Bloodshot.
Yep.
Just from the way the drums kind of come in and the guitars, and I think lyrically it was one of my favorite songs, you know, talking about, obviously, addiction, but it was just kind of very well written, and it just was one of those songs when it would come on, I was like, oh, I love this song. You know, I would probably replay it a couple times while listening through the record. What about you?
Yeah, Bloodshot was one of the ones that I was drawn to as well. And yeah, it's very drum driven from the very get-go. It has, mm-hmm. I think, probably the best outro on the record. It has a pretty, I love the outro on that song. It also has the little Oblivion's lyric shout out, where it's basically the title track, but without it being called out. I also really like the song Favor, that one. I feel like that song kind of had like an early 2000s or late 90s indie type feel to it. I enjoyed that one, which is interesting because I don't feel, maybe Favor, because Phoebe Bridgers and Lucy Dacus are on that one, but I think the main songs that are being promoted are maybe Hardline and Faith Healer. So I think Bloodshot or Favor should definitely get some rotation as well.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Bloodshot just had that kind of that groove that I like. You know, it was just a catchy song.
Any closing thoughts or maybe selling points on why people should listen to this record?
I would kind of encourage people to just give this a listen just for the sheer beauty of it. And someone who's, you know, very talented at not only just writing music, but putting it all together from the lyrics, from, you know, all the different instruments. I haven't really listened to a female vocalist in a long time that really has like a very powerful kind of sound. And her voice, to me, is that kind of carry, like very powerful vocal. And it was kind of refreshing to listen to. And, you know, anyone that's kind of wanting to listen to something a little different, but still have it be something you can listen to, you know, on repeat or just as background music, or if you want to really dive into it and listen to each song, I think each song is very good in its own right, and it carries kind of a through the album, you know, song after song, it just kind of just fits. They all fit together. And that's kind of
the sequencing,
you know,
is good.
Yeah. I think if anybody just kind of wants to listen to something, you know, that maybe they don't normally listen to, I would say definitely give this album a listen and kind of just enjoy it for just someone pouring their heart out. I think it was just a great album, and I'm you know, really glad we went through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think it's definitely one of the better records that have come out so far this year.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's definitely, I think, going to be on a lot of people's top records of the year, and mm-hmm. rightfully so. I think anybody that wants to hear a singer-songwriter fit within a genre, I think definitely kind of that indie folk singer-songwriter genre, but do it differently, talk about subject matters that are personal but important to many, and how she shaped her powerful vocals into her own storyline is pretty impressive. And it is, like you said, great, great background music for sure. Enjoyable listen, and is worth the deep dive. I think also this record, compared to a lot of records, I think this does have some catchier songs that can have some radio play.
Definitely agree.
And with that full band sound. So I think she will do well with this record, and hopefully, I know she's looking forward to, in the interviews I've seen her in, are looking forward to performing it live. So, looking forward to seeing more from her and seeing her succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for chatting about this record with me, bud.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah. Well, please, if you haven't already, take a moment and find us on your favorite podcasting platform. Follow us there so you're notified when we release new episodes. And follow us on Instagram. And until next time, I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Album Worms.